Hello, I'm Kelly Ford. Welcome back to The Motherless. We've been exploring what it's like being a mum when you've lost your mum. And I want to thank everyone who's got in touch to cheer us on and to share their own stories and their own mothers. It means a lot that you got in touch to chat. My own mum would have been 82 this year and a grandma to my two beautiful daughters, Tabitha and baby Eliza. But she never got to see them, and more than ever, I have questions I want to ask her. Things I wish we could do together. I can't ask her those questions, but I can talk to other women in the same situation, and that's what The Motherless is all about. This week, I'm talking to entrepreneur Carly Moussa. When we spoke in lockdown 2, the conversation was online, and the connection wasn't always perfection. But Carly's vivid memories of her mum, Sharon, absolutely were.
So I call my mum, Mummo, so little spin on mummy. And I couldn't tell you when that nickname came into effect, but it definitely was, you know, maybe from teenage years onwards. I have a really treasured bracelet from my mum and dad, and engraved inside it says some beautiful words and says love, Mummo and Daddo. So I think instead of it being mummy and daddy, maybe we all just spun it to this so it didn't sound, I don't know, so that we didn't call her mum, which maybe she didn't want us to.
So was that your kind of teenage compromise, looking back, maybe?
I'm sure we'll get into this conversation throughout about the things that we find the hardest without our mums here. And it is that she's not here to ask her to find out, like, when did this happen? So I have to rely on my own kind of memories almost. And there is no clear moment that this happened. My mum was quite an individual woman, so maybe she just wanted her own individual nickname because, you know, she just liked to be a bit different.
What was your childhood like? What was your time with her like?
I'm from a big family. I've got two brothers and two sisters, and we just had this wonderful house that was full of, I don't know, I can only say excess. I guess it was full of excess in every sense of the word. We had a lot of family living nearby. They would just always be welcome over. There was always, our friends were always around. It was, you know, the house that even now my friends still talk about being where they just loved coming and hanging out. My parents were quite like liberal to a degree. I would say my dad was a backgammon player and then owned clubs, and my mum was a model, and you know, then had kids, and they had quite a lot of fun. There was a lot of parties, and there was a lot of their friends always around who kind of had a similar vibe. It was just, there was never this kind of mix of, oh, I don't want to be around those adults, for me anyway. You have to ask my brothers and sisters if they agree, but for me, I always liked being around my mum and my dad and their friends. And To the extent that I even shared my 18th birthday with my mum, who was turning 50. Like, I'd never had that. I'm embarrassed to be seen with my parents. They were just cool.
And that's incredible. What you were just saying about sharing your 18th with her 50th, it sounds to me, as much as you enjoyed hanging out with the adults in the house were really enjoying the company of children. And that is really unique, just to hear of that complete magical, frivolous, fun atmosphere whilst growing up.
Yeah, I think that exactly that, actually, Kelly, was that I still am very close to a lot of my mum's closest friends. And I call my dad Peter Pan now. There was just this youthfulness that never really went. It wasn't, my mum could be really, really strict, and we weren't allowed to, you know, get away with murder. But there was just this essence of us, of just everyone enjoying each other's company as much as possible.
Did she run a tight ship at home, you know, with all of the home jobs?
Incredibly so. You have no idea. Like, this is just, my mum was forever trying to run a more organized house, I would say as well. Like there was, we were like feral animals, and there was always loads of friends there too. And you know, it was a mad, fun, crazy house. But just as one example of her trying to keep some order within it was the washing up of these cups. So she just got so fed up of having to wash up cup after cup after cup that we, you know, people have a drink and then leave it and forget that was their cup. So she ended up getting plastic cups where she would write in permanent marker our names on. But what happened is the house was so full of people, we ended up with hundreds of cups with names on under the stairs. So you'd end up like having James come over, but you'd give him Stuart's cup because you couldn't find the James cup. And so it kind of like backfired, but it was that kind of thing of she was all forever trying to get some sort of organization and to get an order and togetherness. You know, I remember it as teenagers, with my husband's family, we do it actually. He's Jewish, so we have Friday night dinner, which is such a lovely family tradition to have. But with my family, we didn't grow up with that. Even though my dad is Jewish, we didn't have any religious upbringing. But my mum would, she tried desperately to implement. I remember it was a Thursdays where we would all get together and have these dinners. And for a time period, it would work. But obviously, you're trying to get like teenagers and a little bit old, you know, we were all just off doing our thing, I guess. But she was always trying to bring it back together, bring us as a family back together. And yeah, gotta love her.
Yeah, I love that.
And I don't know if that impacted on the fact that I am so close to my siblings now. Like there's this real closeness and togetherness there from maybe the fact that we did enjoy spending our time together as children.
Making all these magical memories.
Yeah.
Now, at what age did she die, Carly, your mummy?
So my mum died of breast cancer, and she was diagnosed when I was 22, and she died 5 years later when I was 27.
She died on January the 15th, and it was just a few months shy of what would have been her 60th birthday. So really young, you know, I hadn't got married yet. There was no grandchildren for her, you know, all these things that she has missed out on by dying just shy of her 60th birthday. I think it's actually, that's just reminded me that talking of birthdays and how, what we grew up in and how kind of slightly different my family are, and we can get to this and how people deal with grief, but we actually did throw my mum a birthday party, which sounds really strange now I'd say it, but at the time was the most wonderful thing for us all to do. We came together in a club that my dad and brother were running at the time that we had many amazing memories with my mum at, and she would have loved it. She was like this party queen. She loved karaoke. So we had Rockioke, we raised money for a breast cancer charity, and we got all of her friends together, and it was so emotional, but it was a really special evening actually to kind of celebrate what we should have been celebrating with her.
I guess this is the thing about grief, isn't it? And that there's no rule book to what you do or how you get through. Like the night my mum died, we had, again, an open house. It was a different house to the one I grew up in. We moved across the road just when my mum was diagnosed, actually, when I was 22. So that house, you know, it was that thing of everyone came, and we actually did do karaoke that night. It was not, there was so much sadness and so much emotion, but there was this
similar thing that we've been used to, which is being surrounded by love and being surrounded by that fun. And even in the darkest of times, still finding those opportunities to celebrate and to honour what she was about and what we kind of have been brought up to be about too, I guess.
Incredible. So how old were you when you became a mum?
So I was, 31 when I had my son. So that was a good, you know, 3-4 years after losing my mum. And he came about at a time when my family had actually had a really horrendous few years. And he arrived, and really it was like, oh, the magic of his timing and everything like that. And for me, I say, you know, for my sister, she definitely says that Dylan arriving helped to heal her. But I always do say to him, like, he healed a lot of my heart pain. Like, becoming a mum after losing my mum was one of the most special links I could ever have to her, even without her here, I think.
Do you feel that your grief has changed over time?
Yeah, I would say as my kids have got older, in terms of my grieving, life is just so, I think fundamentally life is so busy to actually allow myself the time and space to really truly like sit with my feelings and I guess really truly feel them sometimes. You're just moving at such a fast pace. So I think my grief now is, it tends to be more overwhelming around like my mum's birthdays or an anniversary, or, you know, in terms of day to day, I feel her so strongly with me. And my children, you know, they talk of her, they know her, they refer to her as angel grandma. They'll often, it's really something, you know, I could never even have imagined it to be like this until it kind of naturally took its course. But my daughter will make up a little, you know, thing about how much she loves everyone. She'll be like, I love you too, angel grandma. And that's never been given to her. So they help, I think, in terms of keeping my mum with us and alive and part of our family, because they include her without ever having known her. But I do think that grief still needs to kind of come out of us. We still need to have that emotional release, and it never fully goes away, but it becomes a bit less. But when it is, when it happens, I think it's powerful and it's needed. And, you know, I have to sometimes sit there and sit in the feelings of sadness and loss that come with grief. It's not all perfect, even though I know she's with me. She's not physically here, and that does sometimes have to just move through me and come out in a big old cry. And whether that's brought on by music or a film that we watch together or whatever it is, like, that grief, it does still happen, but it's just a bit less. And I think it's less because my children make my heart so full of love and so full of that connection, I think.
Do you try and create the same environment and experiences as you had with your own children?
So yes, I like to take my children to Panto. We did that every year. It was tradition. It's the birthdays where my mum would always give us all a little gift when it wasn't our birthday, but it was someone else's. I do that. It's about anything possible. Like Easter, obviously we were in lockdown, so I did a whole treasure hunt for them, and they had, you know, they got clues. And I remember actually, even just that, my dad once did that with my mum. He bought her some earrings, and he did a clue treasure hunt for her so that she could find the earrings. And I love that. And I did that for the kids, pretending it was the Easter Bunny, obviously.
I think it's just anything possible for them to
believe until life, you know, comes along and tells you it's really, it's quite hard at times. It's kind of protecting them in a way from it for as long as possible.
Something we do have to touch upon is, Carly, you are incredible for joining us in this particular window of your life, as you are undergoing treatment for breast cancer, diagnosed at the end of 2019. You have undergone a double mastectomy, chemotherapy. Last Friday you finished 3 weeks of radiotherapy, and here you are today sharing your story about your mummo and talking about her breast cancer. So we're just so grateful for your bravery and for talking to us today.
Thank you for that. It's definitely a vulnerable and emotional topic to discuss. I think that having lost my mum to breast cancer and then almost a decade to the day of losing her, I was diagnosed. There had been 15 years from when my mum was diagnosed. So medicine has improved, you know, so much has changed in that time. And I just was, you know, from the start had to say, okay, yes, we both have breast cancer, but my story will be a very different one to my mum's.
And in terms of sort of protecting them from everything that you have experienced this year, has that been, as a mother, quite a tricky road to navigate?
Yeah, I definitely think that's been the hardest thing for me, is trying to not feel guilty about what I have in my body. Well, I don't have anymore, I should add, but what I did have in my body and how that would then impact them. And also, you know, for someone who thinks a lot about future and past and things, to try not to think how it might impact them as they go on. Because also right now, my kids don't know the word cancer. They know I've been ill. They know I lost my mum, you know, before they were born. They don't know what she died from. So there is protection there, to a degree. I mean, they know I've had medicine. They know the medicine made me ill. They know I've had surgery. So there's a lot that you can't shield them from. And also they're very wise, you know, kids, and that I know it's said a lot, but they really are resilient too. So it's protecting them on the one hand, but also having a conversation that allows an open dialogue, allows them to say if they're feeling fearful about anything. And some of the conversations, especially with my son, who's that bit older, that have come about more to do with his fears, I think, and stuff, that's come at very different times. Like after we've listened to a song in the car and I've seen that he's maybe got a little bit upset, and, you know, it just opens that door to have a narrative and then be able to explore it with them.
I think that's so important, and that just to open the dialogue and have that level of truth amongst all the kind of unknowns. I think that is so important, because otherwise I think if you don't, it can come back and bite in different ways, can't it? And so...
Yeah.
Well done, Carly. Brave lady.
Oh, yeah, that was a tough conversation to have, but you know, it's worth it, I think.
It must be hard not to think about her cancer journey and her treatments. So I wondered a little bit about that, Carly.
To be honest with you, I have thought about her kind of every step of the way. I think having the same illness as she had, and again, she protected us. Like my youngest sister was 17, I was 22. Like we were all relatively young still, and she really protected us from her cancer experience. We didn't go with her for chemo. We didn't, you know, she took her sister and my dad's sister and friends. They supported her in that way. So when I was diagnosed, there's been so many things where I've been like, oh, this is what my mum went through. This is how she felt. And also there's a lot of triggers there. Like I didn't lose all of my hair, but as I started to lose some of it because I cold capped, my mum couldn't bear the cold cap. So even there was like reminding me of that vulnerable moment she first showed me her head after she'd shaved all her hair off, you know. So every single part of this journey has been a reminder of how my mum was, but also a massive, massive reminder of how different our paths have been from the start. And I think that's the most important bit for me, is that from the very get-go, my cancer was a different type. And I think you only really realize when you get diagnosed with breast cancer that there's so many different types of breast cancer out there. And there's, you know, it depends on what hormones are involved or if no hormones are involved. And my mum's was a hormone cancer, and mine is called triple negative, which it turns out I've got this gene called BRCA1, which ironically is from my dad's side of the family. It's quite a common gene with Ashkenazi Jews, and that's my dad's heritage. My older sister was diagnosed with ovarian cancer 5 months before my diagnosis.
That is unreal.
Yeah, I know. I say that like such a flippant comment. Actually, it truly is unreal, and was the craziest time, I think. In fact, my sister's diagnosis was so much more shocking in a way to me than my own was, which sounds really weird, but it came at a time when I think our family were finally like, okay, maybe we're you know, we're at this kind of time where everyone was kind of well. And then that went a bit tits up. But listen, I don't live with regret, really. I think the path was as it's meant to be. It makes me sad to think then my sister maybe would have not had her cancer as well. And funnily enough, me and my sister have obviously supported each other so much. I mean, you couldn't really make it up. We were having the same treatment at the same time at one point, the exact same chemo. But, you know, we've supported each other. We've had so much humour together. It's that kind of gallows humour that you can maybe only really have with your own intimate circle, I guess, that aren't going to be totally horrified that you could laugh at such awful situations.
If there was one question you could ask your mummo about parenting, what would that be? I mean, one question. I mean, there's probably 1,000, Carly, but are there any questions that spring to mind?
Do you know what? Honestly, it is that, isn't it? That there's every conversation you want to ask, from like the mundane things of you know, how to wash clothes properly, to the bigger picture of how do you cope with this, like, your heart literally walking around with two little people, or in her case, you know, four, and the stepdaughter like five. You know, how do you do it? How, and just I don't know, every question under the sun. How I would love to ask her just so many parenting questions, because she was just the best parent. And I always say, like, that thing, like, if my kids think I'm a good mum, it's because I learned from the best one.
Carly Moussa, founder of keepemquiet.com, activity packs for kids. Thanks for listening to The Motherless with me, Kelly Ford. You can find out more about me at Book of Mum on Instagram. See you next week.